Mics are hot.
Yep.
It is 2024, and it is great to say that.
We're recording, and I can hear myself. I can hear myself talking. It's great.
Miracles never cease. For those of you wondering at home, yes, it is in fact difficult for Ian to hear himself. But once again, we have overcome technical difficulties, and we are ready to roll.
I'm the worst at overcoming technical difficulties. And I feel like I'm pretty good at technical difficulties, but oof.
This is all part of the journey.
That's right.
Are we ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my mischievous friend, Ian.
That's me.
We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our definitely considered thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Disney Villainous, designed by Prospero Hall and published by Ravensburger. There's also probably a lot of artists that put in a lot of work on this, but I think because they're pulling that artwork from the movies, they don't actually end up crediting them either in the book or on BGG. Not sure how that works out legally, but for those of you that did the art, I greatly appreciate it.
I also appreciate it. Disney Villainous is a 2-6 player card game where you'll take the role of a Disney villain to attempt to achieve your own evil objective. Each character has their own objective and their own evil ways to achieve them. Players will cast fate onto the other players to thwart them, forcing heroes onto them that they must face and defeat to achieve ultimate victory and to gain ultimate power. Once a player fulfills their goal, they win and become the greatest villain of them all. Let's review Disney Villainous.
Unlimited power!
That's right. Well, Jared.
Yes, Ian.
So I have a question for you.
Oh, good.
It's kind of a two-parter, and it could be the same thing.
Okay.
If you want it to be. One, who is your favorite Disney villain? But two, which Disney villain would you be if you had to become a villain?
Oh man, you took mine. I had a different take on that particular question.
Oh no.
Okay. Well, let's just dive right in here. So, just to clarify,
'cause I feel like those are two separate things for me.
There's two separate questions here. My favorite villain and the villain that I would be.
Yep.
Okay. And I just want to clarify, this is strictly in the main Disney line.
Yeah, not like Star Wars, Marvel, or anything like that.
No. I'm not even saying that. So I'm thinking like when ABC did Once Upon a Time, which is very much based on actual like Disney characters, but gives them their own twist.
Right.
Like I fell in love with certain villains that I kind of was whatever about before. So we're not including any of that, correct?
No. I would say from the OG original movies.
All right.
And that stuff.
Gotcha. Well, I think my favorite villain, and I'm really kind of bummed because I think at the end he kind of becomes this punk and it's not how he's kind of built up at the beginning. But Scar is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I feel like Scar played it right and then the writers realized they played it right and they had to make him unable to run a kingdom and he kind of just sent the whole world into a death trap.
Right.
But Be Prepared is one of my favorite Disney songs.
It's so good.
So that definitely adds to the ranking.
Yeah.
So love Scar as one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I feel like if you had to ask me to become a Disney villain, I mean, I feel like it'd be, I mean, I would love to be Gaston. Just the mission is so simple. He wants the girl and he wants to protect his little village and be the hero. What's so wrong about that, Ian? He's just trying to be the best Gaston he can be.
That's true. I mean,
Those are my choices.
That's what makes a good villain.
Yes.
Is what are their intentions? What are their goals? Do they make sense to me?
That's right.
And can I kind of sympathize with that character and be like, oh, I get why you're doing that. Do I think it's wrong? Yes, probably. But in the end, I can sympathize and empathize with you because your intentions are good in your own mind. And so that's what you want a villain to bring to the table. And I think those are good choices. I definitely, for myself, I would pick, again, two separate because I don't always want to be the villain that I like the most because their situation is terrible. But so Captain Hook is one of my favorite villains ever. I love, we've gone over before how much I love the movie Peter Pan.
Yep.
But Captain Hook to me is just such a fascinating villain. And Scar would be another one too. But Captain Hook, he's on this island in this weird world, and he has one purpose, is to get Peter Pan. Like, that's it. You do sympathize and empathize with him in the movies and his character. Again, so good. I would not want to be him, though, because he never wins, and he is missing a hand, and he can't fly. So it sucks all around. But I would want to be Jafar, though, because he is a mystical character and has, you know, magic and all this stuff. And so I would like to be Jafar for sure. I think it would be very fun.
That is well thought out. It would be fun to be Jafar. He's definitely got the very standard trope of wanting to rule the kingdom. So if that's what you're into, Ian, I mean, I guess we can get behind that.
That's right.
I agree with you. Being Captain Hook would be a struggle. It would be a rough time. That guy definitely gets the short stick.
It would be terrible. always.
No, I think those are well thought out questions, buddy. Well done. And yeah, I really appreciate you kind of walking out my thoughts there, because there's a lot of these villains that I look at and I'm like, I can't get behind what you're doing. And
right.
it doesn't make sense, or it's kind of overdone or whatever. And but no, some of them you're like, oh, I could see this. I understand what you're doing here.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it believable, and that it brings kind of that love and hatred for the character. And that's what makes it memorable. And that's what you want in any villain in any movie or show or book or whatever, any entertainment. You want to be able to connect with even the villain.
Absolutely.
And that's what leaves you with a good experience.
Yep, for sure. No, I completely agree.
So with all that, this is a board game or a card game, but
I mean, there's boards involved.
About being the villain. You get to be the villain you want to be.
Ian, I will ask you, this is not the question I had, but I will go ahead and ask this anyways. Do you enjoy getting a turn at playing villains just in general? Not specifically this game, but like, you know, it's done in, I'm thinking about like Transformers or Power Rangers or all kinds of different IPs. It's like, oh, I want a chance to be on their side. I want a chance to be the Marvel villain and take on all the Marvel heroes or whatever it may be. Like, do you get excited about doing that?
Oh, I am ecstatic about playing the villain.
Nice.
Ecstatic. I love playing the villain. It's one of my I love playing against the heroes. So,
okay. Nice.
Or other villains in this case, but I love playing the villain.
Well, it is all about perspective, isn't it?
That's right. It is.
There you go. All right. Well, folks, I will quickly take us through how to play this game. It is a very difficult thing to quickly explain in a podcast format. And the reason for that is that each villain has a different way that they play their game. And so I'm going to kind of go over that here, what the basic actions are and that sort of thing. But that's really just to give you a snippet of what we're talking about. I mean, in reality, you know, you'll want to do a full how to play video. Rodney over at Watch It Played definitely does. I know that Ravensburger also has an official how to play So anyways, there's lots of them out there at this point if you're interested in kind of getting a visual for what we're talking about. But I'll kind of give the basics. But again, each villain is going to kind of do its own thing. So when you start the game, each player controls a villain, which basically, like I said, sets up its own rules, which you will be given all the tools that you need to understand that villain's rules, both at the beginning of the game and throughout. So the object of the game is to be the first person to complete your villain's objective. Now, as you've guessed, much like in the same way that a villain plays differently, each villain has a different objective. Each player gets a board with multiple locations. That board is referred to as the villain's realm. They will get a villain marker that will live within the villain's realm, a villain deck, and a fate deck, as well as a reference guide for the various icons that you'll find on your board. There's a list of icons that are pretty consistent across everybody's board, but you won't have all of them. You'll only have certain ones, and so that reference guide lets you know what your icons do. And it will also give you a villain's guide, which kind of guides you through the recommended way to start playing and the strategies you might want to implement so that you are helped in basically learning a new game every time that you play a new villain. So on your turn, you will move your villain to a new location within your realm. You can never stay on the same location two turns in a row. When you get to that new location, you then get to perform actions based on the symbols in that location, as well as what you are able to afford within that location. Then you will end your turn by drawing back up to four cards. The various actions that you could potentially take, and again, not all of these actions will be on every single villain board. They all play differently. But you could gain power. Power is the currency in the game. And so, as I was saying earlier, you will need power to be able to generate certain actions or cards that you might play. You may play a card from your hand as an action. Another action might be that you could activate an item or ally already in your realm. You might move an item or ally. You might move a hero that is currently blocking one of your location's abilities. You could vanquish a hero, something everybody wants to do. You may
always
you may discard cards to kind of get the stuff out of your hand that you are no longer interested in and you are trying to get a fresh hand for next time, or even this time, depending on how you pull. And the main way to interact with other players is you can take the fate action. When you take the fate action, you choose an opponent who reveals two cards from their fate deck. You get to choose which one gets played. The other card gets discarded. Typically, it will be something that will be bad for that player. Sometimes it ends up not being a big deal, but typically it becomes a pretty major annoyance. Just to give you an idea of some examples for some of the things that we've mentioned, going back to the objectives. So let's say you're Ursula. Ursula needs to start her turn with the trident and the crown at Ursula's lair. And that is one of the locations within her realm. If you're playing as Jafar, Jafar wants to start his turn with the magic lamp at Sultan's palace and Genie under your control. And obviously there's a way to do that within the game. So that's just a couple of examples of objectives. Ian, do you have some examples on various fate things that might happen on a turn when that action is taken?
The different fate stuff that can happen are effects and heroes, normally. Those are like the two major things. So basically, it's kind of like an event or a character, basically, are the two main things. And remind me, am I missing anything else other than those?
Also, I thought those were... There are also, within the fate deck, there are also some items that might be drawn as well. And I believe there are no conditions. That's only in the villain deck. But so hero, effect, or an item is what you will draw from the fate deck.
Because some of the items you are looking for in some of the fate decks. So sometimes you want to be fated. So anyway, some of the effects slash events will do something against the villain via discarding cards from play or, you know, removing currency. So many different options as far as one. But So, and as an example, one of the characters that you can play is Cruella De Vil, which she's from one of the expansions, which we'll get to, but she's not in the base game. But her goal is to get 99 puppies. And so one of the events is choose one of the captured, and this is in the fate deck, one of the effects is to remove one of the puppy tokens that she has captured and put it back in the supply. That's just an example of an effect. Now, the other things that can pop up, like you said, items, but the other major thing is heroes. These heroes will show up, and they're there to stop the player from completing their goal. Captain Hook has Peter Pan that can show up, and Wendy, and the, you know, and then like Cruella De Vil's got, you know, Nanny, and let's see, Sergeant Tibbs, and like, so you have a lot of different, the Colonel and Pongo. So each villain will have heroes from their respective movies to show up on their board and prevent them from completing these goals. Now, I don't know if you were going to get to this or not, but when a hero and comes out through via the fate deck, they get placed onto the villain's board. And what that does is it covers up the top half of these icons that allow you to do certain actions, which you did reference. But, and I'll kind of explain that, is that on each location inside their realm that you would like take actions with, or you, when you move your pawn, there's icons on the top of the board and icons on the bottom of the board. And when there's nothing hindering that board, when you place your pawn there, you get all the actions available to that location. But when a hero is placed on your board, on top of the hero just being an annoyance and doing something terrible to the villain, they also cover up these icons that make that action space, that location inside her realm or his or her realm, basically worse off, and it doesn't do as many actions when you move there until you remove that hero and defeat it. And so that's a fascinating way to hinder people, especially when you fate them, is that it's one way to keep them in place as you're trying to complete your own objective, is to fate the other players so that they get these heroes placed onto their board and they don't get as many actions on their turn. So it's a very interesting way to do that. That's the main things that are inside this fate deck. As players kind of progress through the game, they're going to be filling up these locations with the heroes, and also these effects take place that keep coming out and ruining their plans.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. There have been more than a number of times where I have had something placed on a space that I really needed, and it becomes a real annoyance. So yes, very frustrating to say the least.
Yes.
All right, Ian. So let's kind of talk about this game a little bit. Do we want to start with our designer and publisher, and then we can kind of transition into the game itself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we could do that.
Sure. So I remember when this game was first kind of announced, and there was just a multitude of excitement around this game.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely.
I remember seeing it for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was thrilled.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I think I remember even seeing it like just as an image on Twitter or Instagram or wherever, and just seeing everybody get beyond excited about it, which was cool to see. Like, it was this new kind of concept. Not, you weren't sure what they were going to do with it, but it was definitely very exciting.
Yeah. And this came out what year?
2018. Yep. 2018.
Yeah. So, I mean, Disney's been around forever,
sure,
obviously, but this, you know, it's kind of that new wave of Disney. Like, it's at the end of that, but like, people are really getting back into, you know, nostalgia, and this kind of hit that wave.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I remember seeing who the designer was, and I didn't really recognize his name. He looking on his list of games, like, he's got a lot of good games that have hit big box stores. And okay, I realized everyone has seen this in Target, I'm sure. The Bob Ross Art of Chill game that came out in 2017, right before this, is a big time Target game. But he's got stuff like Horrified, Pan Am, Jaws,
yep,
Back to the Future, all okay, these games that you're going to see in Target, he's done or has at least touched.
Yep.
A game that Faith and I are going to talk about at some point, Toy Story, Obstacles and Adventures. That was a fun one. that he's touched that are on, that's on his list here. So he's hit a lot of IPs, it looks like. Not sure how that journey started, but definitely has touched a lot of games that have made their way into mainstream, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is very wild. Yeah, you're right. He's...
I don't know either, but he's clearly been around. And
very cool.
And obviously, Ravensburger has a ton of IPs that it works on, and they do have the Disney license when it comes to board games, so makes sense that they would do something like this. We've mentioned them before in our Lorcana episode, and I'm sure we'll be talking about Lorcana again at some point.
And this is what got them into the Disney IP.
Yes.
So they bought the rights to Disney for this, and then they've just kept it. So
for sure.
Easy enough.
Yep. And everybody knows Ravensburger. Everyone's done a Ravensburger puzzle. So we all know them.
Yeah. On top of that, they do great puzzles. So if you like puzzles and not board games and you listen to this podcast somehow, I don't know how you made
it
here.
That would be wild.
But if you are, this company makes puzzles and they're great. So go ahead and buy yourself one, and next time you make a Target run.
No. Listener, let me be clear to my one listener, if you are even real. If you are listening to this and you like puzzles and you don't like board games and you've never done a Ravensburger puzzle, email me, please. I need to know your life's journey. I need to know what's going on there. Please.
That's right.
That would make my whole year on day six of the year.
How have you not made it this far? How have you made it this far and not touched one?
That would be incredible. There's no way that's real. And there's no way.
It can't.
Nope.
I mean, you never know. Nothing's impossible.
Yeah,
sure. Very unlikely.
sure.
The chances are almost impossible.
Ian, let's talk about this game. I'm hesitant to do so because I am so conflicted on so many things, but we'll just dive in. It'll be fine. So
dive in.
I will let you lead the way here. Ian, what draws you to this game?
Everything.
Everything, he says.
Everything.
You are a Disney shill. As someone who loves Disney, you are a shill. And I will support like a lot of Disney projects because I also love Disney, but you take it to a whole new level.
I'm a sucker. I can't. Yeah, it's bad. They know me.
All right. So for realsies though, besides the fact that you have a Disney wrapping paper on it, what draws you to this game?
I mean, theme is everything in this game. I think theme is the reason why the game does well. The basic actions and all like that are fine, but what wraps this game up is the theme and the character that you're playing. You feel like you are playing the villain. You feel like your character's unique to the game. You don't feel like you're doing what everybody else is doing. It gives you a sense of purpose and a character to be. Like, you can really dive into being the character that you pick to play. And in all of that, the deck that you are playing with is all themed around the character that you're playing to. And so just everything on your board makes sense to the character, and it makes you feel like you're playing, you know, whoever you picked. And there's a lot of options, and we'll get to some of those, but you pick one and you get a handy dandy sheet that explains kind of the basic strategy of what this character's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a phenomenal piece, and we'll get to that too. But it just overall, you feel like you're playing the character that you picked. And that's what I want. Like when I picked up the box and it said Disney Villainous, you know, you are the villain. Okay, cool. How much of the villain am I actually being? And I feel like in this game, you are the villain. You're doing everything that the villain is in their movie, respective movies. You are trying to do exactly what they are and what they were trying to do in their movie. And that's all based via cards and the locations. But like example, I mean, like Cruella De Vil, which is one of my favorite characters in this game to play, is you're trying to collect all the little puppies and the puppy tokens. And you're trying to get all 90, you know, 99 of them. And Pongo will show up and, you know, try and save the puppies. And throughout the game, you're looking at different locations. You're using your different characters, your allies, you know, allies to the villain to help gather these puppies. And you search different locations and you have to move them and all this stuff. And that's how you win, is getting all 99. And so, but if you could look at, like, you know, a couple of the other characters, they just all have a unique way of playing. And I really like it. I really like how they did it well. They did, you know, picking the character and being that character, you feel like you did it. And so they achieved whatever in the design process. They're like, this is what we want. They achieved it for me, especially when I pick up this game and play it. And it's all kind of wrapped around this kind of very simple action system, is that there's nothing like, everybody's boards are usually pretty similar as far as like what's on the board, the icons, but it's just like the cards inside the player's decks are just like, it's, they're all different. And so every game does feel different. It's a very interesting way to design a game, is that like you have a basic set of rules and then each character is like kind of bends the reality of the game.
No, that's interesting. And so I will clarify all of my thoughts from here on, that I can, and I this seems even dumb to say out loud now that I'm saying it, but I am only able to speak from my perspective on my experience on this game, because I think that mine is not as common as what I have come into contact with playing this game. And I've played this game a lot, and I think I've played this game more than I think I would if it was something else. Like, if it wasn't Disney, I don't know that I would have given it as many tries as I have.
Right.
But I mean, even saying that, I think that there are enough people that love this game that I have given it as many tries as I have as well. Like, it's not just Disney, because like, it's cool to be a Disney villain, and it does, I agree, it does, through both your own deck, your objective, and the fate cards that happen to you, you very much feel like you are being dropped into the middle of a Disney movie, and you are trying to right the mistakes of that villain to be able to get them to their objective. And that is cool, especially as like a concept just in general, whether that's a card game or an RPG or whatever it may be. Like, I think that that's a cool idea. And it does do that. It does give me that feel, and I am drawn to that aspect of it. And I want that to work. And I think that's what draws me back to keep trying it again and again. I think for me, if I'm looking at this just from a game perspective, the things that really draw me in are also what I would probably consider my favorite mechanics, which are asymmetrical powers. Anything that gives me a variety in how I play is great. I love feeling like I can pick up a deck, play with it, but then the next time I play it, it's going to be different. And because of the amount of villains just in the base box, but then also with the multitude of expansions, which we'll go over later, it definitely gives me variety of play. So it has that.
Yeah.
100%. All behind that. I also really like the mechanic of, you can't stay in one location and just keep spamming the same action over and over again. You have to know how to negotiate the board to where your actions and your movement work together and creates that symmetry to where you're actually creating this engine from that perspective. That is another way that that's another mechanic that I really enjoy in this game. I think it was a good idea. I think that, like we mentioned earlier, the heroes really screw with that. And I think that was a great implementation as well, because you want the hero to feel like it's thwarting your plans, which is the point of the hero. And the heroes very much do that in this game.
For sure. Yeah. No, they do. I think especially with the heroes, they kind of get, they just jump right into your situation and ruin it.
They do. They do that.
Which is funny because you feel like it's the opposite when you're watching a movie. You're like, why is this villain keep getting in the way? But if you think about it, the hero just keeps getting in the villain's way. So with that, because I hear it in your voice, what do you not like about this game? What does this game not do for you as far as games that is just leaves you wanting more?
Well, I'll admit right off the top, I'm not good at this game. I have not figured it out yet, which does not help. It's not a deal breaker. But I know that it doesn't help. I One, I'm not a huge fan of feeling like most of the game is just this solitaire experience. There's obviously some player interaction in that you basically trigger somebody else's fate deck, but I still feel like it's really limited, and I am just not a big fan of that kind of game. I will also say that, again, this is just my perspective. I don't think the game is very forgiving if you have a new player playing an experienced player, and especially in a game that is all about racing to the finish line as fast as possible and putting together this engine to do so. That's not great, in my opinion. I don't know. The game doesn't grab me. I want it to. I want this theme to work. But I just, every time I end up playing it by like turn two or three, I'm like, okay, I'm just kind of going through the motions here. This is what I want to do. Okay, I think this is what's best. Oh, wait, they're doing it faster than me. Okay, I'm not sure how I'm going to catch up. But, you know, and then you just kind of go through the motions to go through the end of the game. And I feel like I feel like I'm describing myself as just doing it nonchalantly, which I'm not. I really want to win, and I'm really pushing to win the entire time, but it never feels like I haven't figured it out. And I end up feeling stuck at the end, like almost like the villain does when he gets thwarted. So maybe it's doing exactly what it needs to do. I don't know.
I never thought about it that way. Maybe they're doing exactly what you're supposed to do.
I 100% feel stuck every time I lose this game. Like, I don't know what I could have done better, but they clearly were way more efficient than I was.
Oh man, that's so good. Your other villain was better than you,
yeah,
as a villain.
Absolutely. You know, it's, I don't know.
I can fully agree with all of those points. I think this game is very, like you're saying, solitaire in many ways. You are kind of on your own island. You're in your own realm. And you kind of just stick there and you fate the other players. But there isn't anything. It's like, oh, my. It's not like I'm searching for an item that's in another player's deck, you know, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, everything is just assigned to your own personal space, and you're never really reaching for anything other than maybe some tokens in the middle of the table. And so there is a slight lack of player interaction because of that. And what I have found too is, yes, basically, it's like, okay, whoever's closest to winning, we're going to fate them a couple times in a row. And that's just the decision that all the players make. And so those are definitely some things that are issues. I do find that in a larger player count, the game could take a very long time, and it is completely unnecessary.
Yeah, I will never play this
one. And
with
it's
six.
Too long. Yeah. And so that's a thing that can happen. I'm not sure about, you know, you not winning. That's probably just more of a you issue than anything else.
It's 100%. No, it's 100% a me issue. And I really, I don't know, man, because it's, again, I like to factor it in and make sure I mention it because I know that it has some effect on how I feel about games. But I also know that there's other games that I don't know that I still have won. I still haven't won, but I thoroughly enjoy the game.
Exactly.
And, you know, I could rattle off examples of that, but I don't want to dive into that part of it. So I don't know how much of that is it, but
every game he's ever played.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Not true. Not true.
Ticket
Not
to
true.
Ride Legacy, people. Just wait until I talk to you about how bad I'm getting clapped.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I totally hear you. And it makes sense. And obviously it's part of the experience. I will say, are you fine with me moving on to some expansions? Because I have some points.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely dive in there. Okay. That's great.
Yeah, because there are, I guess, 7 different expansions now to this.
Well, soon to be 7. There's 6 of published,
soon to be 7.
And there's a 7th on the way.
It's okay. So anyway, the base game comes with 6 characters, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so then each of the expansions, and there's one expansion-ish that it adds, like, basically it's a new base game, but then, like, makes the characters easier or something. I don't know exactly how that one works, but I do know there's the other expansions, it has 3 new characters in it, and these expansions are technically standalone games, and so you can play them as is in the box. It has everything you have to play, so it's not like you have to go buy the base game.
Mm-hmm.
That's just... You can play it as is because it has 3 characters and it has enough tokens to play with those 3. And like I said before, I wouldn't really play this game with more than probably three or four anyway. So if you really want to try this game out, find a box that has some characters that you like and go try that, because it's a good way to play. And again, there's so many characters now. So like I have, let's see, the one, there's one that comes with Scar. There's one that, like I said, Cruella de Vil. Yep. I think Wicked to the Core is that the Evil Queen, I think that one comes with.
Yep, that's right.
And again, there's more characters in there too. And then there's one that's coming out that is, it's going to have King Candy from Wreck-It Ralph as kind of the face of the box villain. And so again, those are just one of the villain in each of those boxes. They also have two other villains in each of those boxes. So there's, I mean, is that what, over 20, what is that, almost 30 villains or something like that? If I'm doing the math right, or something like that. So a lot.
Yeah, definitely more than 20.
On top of that, yeah. On top of that, there, and we're only talking about the Disney villainous, but there is also Star Wars villainous, and there is also Marvel Cinematic Universe villainous, and these games play similarly. I haven't played those, but I know it's the same system with the boards, and I know they add a couple new things. There are also those, if you don't like this, you can go look at those games.
And they have their own expansions as well. So there's not a lack of content.
Exactly. Yeah, they have fully dove into this world of Disney and the whole universe, every universe known to man.
Yep.
With all the expansions and stuff, like there's a lot of different villains that you can pick
from. If you like this game, and going back to that asymmetrical powers, you have it forever. Yeah. Like you have so many options, and they're going to keep printing that stuff because it prints money for you because it's Disney.
Yep.
So yeah, yep. You will always have options to keep this game fresh if you like it. I am curious, Ian, because I want to circle back around because of that. Can you tell me kind of your favorite mechanic in this game? Because I know you're drawn to the concept of being a villain and they do that well. But like, if this was, and again, this is kind of dumb because the theme is part of it. But if Disney was not like the main draw, if it was something else, would you have the same pull because of the game? Or is the theme so overwhelming that the game mechanics are kind of, it doesn't matter that they're just okay?
I think this game, again, they basically, it's like they set, I don't even know how you design a game like this, because it's just so like, there's so much going on, but it's, you set up the basic actions and those are like pretty like through and through for most villains. And so those basic actions, I mean, they're fine. Like in general, it's like basically like move a card left or right. Take some money, make another player draw a fate card,
right?
Like trigger an event of your own. Those, like that's literally what the actions are called. They're so generically labeled that from there on, it's the deck of cards that does everything. I find that part incredibly fascinating because the game is constantly evolving. Like it's not stuck. It doesn't have any borders. It doesn't have any boundaries. Like you can do whatever you want with those basic icons. And so I do think that is really cool. But if it was a generic labeling of, I don't know, some space themed time warping, you know.
Yeah, I would say even like not you're an even evil related villain, to Star Wars. You're an evil villain that's not related to any IP. Like it's just a generic.
Right.
You're just the villain.
It's just a generic villain.
Yep. Would you
then
still
no,
be?
No, I would probably not be very interested whatsoever.
Okay. That's what I'm curious. I'm not trying to like push it that way. I was just curious, like actually, if we haven't talked about that before. So I'm curious how much of the theme itself is what speaks to you.
Sure. And so an example, you know, that I've thought of is, you know, when it comes to, you know, you've played like Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Yep.
And then I've played Marvel Champions and you've played both. Sentinels of the Multiverse, I have no interest in ever playing. But Marvel Champions, I do. And I know the games do play similarly. Obviously, they're different in their own regard. But
right,
the theme, it does everything for me. And I like the the mechanics better in Marvel Champions, but it's the same thing. It's like, sure, the game could be very similar, but one I have absolutely no interest in ever playing or touching, and the other one I buy all of it of. So it's the same thing here, though the mechanics for me are kind of okay. I like them. They're okay. Again, I have issues with player interaction, length of game. I do think some characters, when you are talking about every character having their own objective and their own cards, I think some of the characters are not very good, and they're not strong, and they're not fun to play.
Yeah.
So that's the issue there. And that is just, that's going to happen. Like, that's inevitable unless you play test it forever and ever and ever until you get it right. It's just not going to happen. And I don't, it is what it is. It's just part of it. So those are the things I have issues with. And I take this game with a grain of salt because of those things. But overall, I think it is a very solid game, especially when we're talking about games that are sold at Target and mass market people and audiences. I think it does exactly what it's supposed to do, and it does it really well. And sure, as a full-on like gamer, do I love all the aspects of it? No. But as a Disney fan, do I love all the aspects of it? Yes.
That's fair. No, I can definitely see all of that as well. So, all right. Well, anything else you want to add? I feel like that was a good way to kind of segue into grading and final thoughts. Do you have anything else before that?
I don't think so. No, I mean, we went through player counts. The base technically is 2 to 6. Length of time, I think the box says, like, what, 60 to 90? I think with three players, you're looking at definitely an hour. At six players, I would not do it. I have played it. It took over 2 hours.
Yeah, I would not
it was not enjoyable.
I'm sorry, I would not recommend six.
It was not enjoyable.
Yeah, so. BGG recommends, like, it for the players that vote on it, they say best is at 3. I think that's right, because you get the opportunity to interact with a few people. Playing at 4 is also fine, but I would not go higher than 4 ever.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
All right. Well, Ian, shall I grade first so that you can bring us home on a higher note?
Yeah,
just given the vibe of how our discussion has gone.
Yes.
It's so sad, man. I want to love a Disney game. That's what I want in my life. And maybe Lorcana will grow on me like a fungus, and we'll eventually get to that point.
You like Marvel Champions. That's technically Disney.
No. I'm talking about an actual Disney. I would even be okay with Pixar. Like, those are more of the realm of what I'm looking for here. But
I see.
All right. I'm going to be short and sweet. I feel like I've said my piece. This game is it's so close to being what I would want it to be, but it doesn't hit. I can say in all the times that I've played this game, which I think is over 10 times at this point, I have never walked away having a good experience with this game by the time from beginning to end. And at the end, I was like, you know what? I really enjoyed that experience. I just haven't had that with this game, and it's such a bummer. So I see the potential there, and I see how some people would like it, especially if you like that game style where you're doing your own thing, but there's other people at the table doing that thing too, and you're kind of racing to see who can do it best first. You'll probably enjoy this, but for me, I just can't give this game any higher than a 6. That's kind of where it sits for me, where I recognize the potential, I recognize the desire for this theme to work. But overall, it's just not there.
That's higher than I thought you were going to give it.
Well, I mean, I'm not cruel, man. I mean, I understand what it is. So it's, and I, again, part of my rating is I do wonder how much of it is a me problem instead of a game problem. But I also think the game has its issues. So I'm going to leave it at a 6.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I will talk. I don't know if we did mention the artists. They're not credited,
right?
And that's one reason I'll touch on it very quickly as I go into my final thought. Mm-hmm. Because the art on every single card in this game is absolutely gorgeous.
I agree.
The backs of the cards are absolutely gorgeous. The tokens and the like the villain, you know, model or pawn is absolutely stunning. Perfectly created. It's perfect. The art in this game is also what drives it for me. all of the art is taken from the movies and wherever that character came from. And it is just so masterfully well done. It just, when you play, you know, a card from your deck, you feel like you're actually doing that thing or playing that item. And so that's why I do think this game has a place, especially in obviously a mass market big box store. I think it does what it's supposed to do, and what it's wanting to do is to appeal to a lot of different people that aren't necessarily a bunch of gamers, but they want to play a game about Disney characters and Disney villains. And it, I think it does it really, really well. It has issues. And overall, I think for me, I don't always have like the best time playing this game, but like my wife really enjoys it and other people I know enjoy it. So I know what it does and what it can bring to a table. So I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Okay.
I know that's only a point and a half higher than yours, but I think just because I know what this game, as far as like when everybody sits at the table and they're like, oh, like I can pick whoever I want to be, I'm going to pick this guy and we're just going to have fun playing our decks at the table. And it's not going to be incredibly it's not going to be incredibly deep of a game. There's not going to be a ton of player interaction. And one person might get absolutely rolled and one guy might run away with it. But that's part of the game. That's how I look at this game. It's just an easy, fun time at the table, and you get to play the villain you want to be, and I think it does it well. Like, I don't look at anything beyond that, and I get to look at the absolutely amazing art every time I play this. I love it. I love it so much. It's so good. And so I love that feeling of being able to play the villain no matter what game it is, and so I think this just absolutely knocks it out of the park when it comes to playing the villain that I grew up watching. So
I'm really thrilled that it does that for you. And I think that for the majority of people listening that like Disney, I think it will also be something that it will speak to them more in your camp than mine. I'm almost certain of that. But anyways, hey, thank you all so much. We appreciate you taking the time to join us here at the table. If you have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. Links to our socials are in the description. 5-star reviews, subscribing in your podcast player of choice, following us on socials, jumping in on the Discord, all these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. Join us next week as Anna and I dive into the quilting world of patchwork.
Ooh.
In the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
You could do it. Be the villain. Just once. All right. I'm stopping the recording. Right now.